Titles appear in yellow typed letters on a blank screen. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Silver Screen Partners 3, a Rollins, Mora, and Bresner production. Now, our view fades up on the boxy metal grill of a radio microphone. Titles continue, a Barry Levinson film starring Robin Williams as Adrian Kronauer. Good morning, Vietnam.
33rd and 4th Infantry Divisions will resume as scheduled at the Banh Mi 2 Park, corner of Viet Ho and Nguyen Van Thieu Streets here in Saigon. Please make a note of it. Excuse me.
On a control board, a meter needle twitches gently to his voice.
Contact Lieutenant Sam Scheer. Lieutenant Scheer asks those men with waterlogged mitts to make every effort to dry them out in the sun before requesting new ones. Bookworms. Headquarters Support Activities Saigon operates libraries at 6 locations in the Republic of Vietnam. American personnel can check out a book in Cu Bai, Da Nang, Phuong Tao, Saigon, Bien Hoa, and San Treng. If you can't stop in and select your own books, write to the HSAS library. Ask for the books by author, title, and subject, and your selections will be mailed to you.
The window of the DJ booth reflects a lighted sign in stenciled red letters, on air.
Wishing to send Christmas cards home to the States are asked to do so no later than August 13th, due to a yearly mail rush at that time. Don't disappoint your...
The meter needle pins and the scene changes to an airbase where a taxiing jet plane turns toward a truck that bears a sign, "Follow Me." Passing palm trees which border the taxiway, the arriving transport jet rolls to a stop near a waiting army jeep. A title appears, Saigon, 1965.
Personnel missing luggage are asked to drop a card to Major Gerald Kleiner.
Now in the radio booth, the balding DJ wears headphones and a crisp white shirt as he reads.
Major Kleiner requests that you do not describe your duffel, as all duffels look alike. Those personnel with lost...
At the airbase, uniformed servicemen disembark from the jet, followed by a man in his late 20s wearing fatigue pants, a loose striped shirt, and a garrison cap. The driver of the jeep meets him.
Airman Kronauer?
You got it.
He salutes.
Welcome to Saigon, sir.
Yeah, well, you can put an eye out with that.
That is warm, huh?
Warm? No. This is a setting for London broil.
They walk.
I'm Private First Class Edward Montesquieu Garlick at your service, sir.
Well, first thing, Garlick, is you got to requisition a new name.
I like you already, sir. Actually, what I am, sir, is your Armed Forces Radio Saigon assistant who's in charge of orientation and billeting of enlisted personnel and company clerk.
In the jeep, Garlick turns the key. He flashes a grin.
It's already started.
I understand.
The paunchy, big-boned Garlick puts the jeep in gear. African-American, with a boyish face and wire-rimmed glasses, he drives away along an access road. Later, in town, they pass ramshackle houses on stilts, then cross a stone bridge over a sluggish, murky river. Vietnamese locals sell flowers by the roadside. Garlick steers the dusty, olive-green jeep across a paved plaza toward a wide avenue clogged with cars and exhaust fumes. In the passenger seat, Kronauer fidgets as he listens to the radio. He has squinting blue eyes, a strong nose and chin, and a ruddy sunburn.
And operates on an assigned carrier frequency of 540 at 749.
Jesus, that guy's as boring as whale shit.
Not really. See, the purpose is to inform you as to the radius of the radio waves.
Mantovani? They play Mantovani to insomniacs who don't respond to strong drugs.
General likes he's a listener. You know, I'm really going to have to inform...
Mayday, dragon lady with incredible figure at 11 o'clock.
Stop. A teenage girl dressed in white.
Oh, Edward, you understand. I'm in a small Greek island with a lot of women who look like Zorba. I never thought I'd find women attractive ever again. And now that I do, you won't even turn the car around? Thanks a lot.
We have a very important meeting with the top brass.
Oh, there she's again. How did she get ahead of us?
It's another person, sir.
Oh, she's beautiful and quick. Speed up, check her stamina. This is incredible. Oh, my God, they're quick, they're fast and small. I feel like a fox in a chicken coop.
Now, in a building, two American officers meet.
We got a new man coming in. Don't you understand, Dick?
No, sir. Frankly, I do not understand.
Would you kindly lower your tone, please?
Yes, sir. I run this show, General. If anything screws up, it's my ass and more. I deserve to be notified of any changes that are made.
Nobody's arguing that with you. Look, I caught his show on the Isle of Crete, and this guy is funny. I damn near busted a gut laughing at him, and the troops, they love him. This is a tempest in a teacup. Much ado about nothing. For crying out loud, man, this isn't brain surgery. Don't get crazy over this, Dick. We're only talking about a damn DJ.
Sir, there is no such thing as only anymore. Not now, not in Saigon.
Garlic and Cronauer walk inside.
Lieutenant Stephen Hawk is our immediate supervisor. He's a little goofy, but he's okay. Sergeant Major Dickerson, that's another story altogether. He was the commander of an elite special forces unit. He came to us because of prostate problems and some sort of social infection that doesn't go away.
Plus, I think he got shot in the ass, but I can't confirm that. Anyway, he's the man that you don't want to aggravate.
Yeah, but you always just have to.
Pronoun!
Garlic Sir. Salutes the general.
At ease. I'm General Taylor.
Hiya, General.
Real pleasure. Listen, if you have any problems here now, you come see me. I'm the tallest hog at the trough around here.
Ah.
Garlic, have you put on some weight?
I don't think so, sir.
My son, the shadow of your ass will weigh 20 pounds.
I'll work on that, sir. I'm not supposed to address a general saying hi, sir.
Well, is that a new rule?
No, old rule.
Garlic leads the short, broad-shouldered Cronauer to an office.
That's Lieutenant Hawk in there.
Who's the guy with the ears?
An assistant.
Hey, Doc. You're flying to Guam with us.
They stand before Lieutenant Hauk, a scrawny officer with a buzz cut.
Lieutenant Cronauer, sir. You know, it wouldn't kill you people to salute me once in a while. Sorry.
Cronauer makes an offhand salute.
I understand you're pretty funny as a DJ, and, well, comedy is a kind of hobby of mine. Well, actually, it's a little more than just a hobby. Reader's Digest is considering publishing two of my jokes.
Really?
Yeah. And perhaps some night we could maybe get together and swap humorous stories for fun.
Oh, why not? Maybe play a couple of Tennessee Ernie Ford records. That'd be a hoot.
That's a joke, right?
Maybe.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Major Dickerson comes in. He and Hauk exchange a crisp salute. Tall, with graying hair, he eyes Cronauer.
Where's this man's paperwork?
Hauk finds a folder.
Right here, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Dickerson leafs through it.
United States Air Force. The hat does give you away.
He studies Cronauer's loose-fitting civilian clothes.
This is not military issue, Airman. What sort of uniform is that?
Cretan camouflage. If you want to blend into a crowd of drunken Greeks, there's nothing better.
That is humor. I recognize that. I also recognize your species of soldier. I had a guy like you in the field one time. He blew himself to pieces, but not before his humor cost the lives of three very fine individuals.
I hope
you shut your fucking hole! You're in Southeast Asia now, pal. You got your cushy little assignment. There's nothing I can do about that. In time, you will make me forget it. You stay out of my way, there'll be no problem. But if you toy with me, I'll burn you so bad you'll wish you died as a child. Am I being fairly clear?
Yes, sir.
Sir! I work for a living, Airman. You will address me as Sergeant Major Dickerson.
Yes, Sergeant Major Dickerson.
With a final gray-eyed glare, Dickerson turns and walks out. Cronauer relaxes.
He reminds me a lot of Donna Reed, especially around the eyes.
Now, in a radio studio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is your chaplain, Captain Noel. Your radio program of personal beliefs. Great and manifold are our blessings today. This great godly miracle of radio really gives me the opportunity to speak to you on the air.
Sir, it's time to rise.
In bed, Cronauer wakes up.
My God, it's Mardi Gras and I'm on the main float.
Come on, sir. A couple of weeks, this will be easy for you.
Oh, let me go.
Garlic rousts him out of bed.
What time is it, Edward?
It's 5:30.
5:30, it's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
No, we have to get up right now, and you have to get on the air.
Oh,
come on, sir.
Later, they walk along a lit hallway.
This way, sir. It's down the hall to the right.
Yeah.
You must be nervous, sir, huh?
Not even in my body, Edward.
Oh, you're about to go great. This way, sir.
Now, a teletype machine prints a wire report. In a televised news conference, President Johnson said the U.S. military commitment will be raised from its current level of 75,000 men to 125,000 men almost immediately. Now, Garlic and Cronauer enter the teletype room.
still have a few minutes before your show begins, sir. If it's time to read the news, you just take it off these machines here. But regardless of what you read, Airman, the Department of Defense wants final say. So every item's checked by these two guys in here.
An office.
Guys, I'd like to meet our new DJ, Adrian Cronauer.
Two paunchy, identical twins nod at him from their desks. Cronauer opens his mouth to speak, then just nods and follows Garlick down a hall to another door. They enter a small broadcast studio. Beyond one picture window is a producer's control booth. Another window looks into a second studio.
That's Marty Lee Drywitz.
The DJ waves to them.
He's impeccably clean. This man has cleaning products shipped in from Wisconsin. He's also one of your roommates, so if I were you, I'd think about suicide. Sir, I really don't think that you want to use any of those records, sir.
Drywitz comes in from Studio 2.
Hey, I've been looking forward to meeting you. Listen, could you do me a favor? Can you say something funny right this minute?
I doubt it.
I'm with you, man. I'm on your frequency. Hey, let me ask you a question. What is the appeal of Joey Bishop? I mean, the man's not funny. I know funny, and he's not funny.
Cronauer sits at the DJ mic, puts on headphones, and cues up a 45 on a turntable.
Someone would explain this one to me. Hey, incidentally, you're on the air in about 10 seconds. 9, 8.
Drywitz hurries back into Studio 2.
Hey, this is the Detention Back from Morty Lee's Almanac. And now, direct from Crete, welcome to silky smooth sound of Airman Adrian Cronauer.
The clock hits 6, and Cronauer flips a transmit switch.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky, smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee.
In Houck's office.
Good morning, Vietnam. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Lieutenant. I guess it means good morning, Vietnam.
And who gave anyone permission to program modern music?
Freddy and the Dreamers.
Cronauer spins a record.
Wrong speed. We've got it on the wrong speed. For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
Let's pull it right back down again. Let's try a little faster, see if that picks it up a little bit. Let's get up on 718. Those pilots are going right now. I really like the music. Oh, still a bad song.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better.
Look, there's Niv here. Freddy is the devil. Look, there's Niv here. Freddy is the devil.
Picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. He's left Crete. He's entered the demilitarized zone.
He tosses the record. Garlick and Drywitz crack up.
All right. Hey, what is this demilitarized zone? What do they mean, police action?
Sounds like a couple of cops in Brooklyn going. No, she looks pretty to me. Hey,
Hunk's big-eared assistant, Private Abersold, chuckles as he listens.
What is a demilitarized zone? Sounds like something out of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no, don't go in there.
Oh, hee, ho, Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, look, you've landed in Saigon. You're among the little people now.
We represent the Arvern Army, the Arvern Army. Oh, no, follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Oh, I'll get you, my pretty! Oh, my God, it's the Wicked Witch of the North. It's Hanoi Hannah! Now, little G.I., you and your little toodoo, too!
Oh, Adrian. Adrian. What are you doing, Adrian?
Oh, Hannah, you slut. You've been on everything but the Titanic. Stop it right now.
Abersold.
Oh, you know, he's really funny. He's like a Marx brother.
And which Marx brother would that be, Private? Zeppo? I don't find him funny at all.
Zeppo? Is he the one with the hat?
Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poon Tang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot in this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, what is hot? I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot.
Drywitz doubles over. The African-American producer cracks up, too.
Burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. What do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean.
He looks around.
Too much?
Through the window, Drywitz gives a thumbs up, then pumps his arms. Kronauer fiddles with the turntable. The VU meter needle swings into the red. Now, on a river, shirtless GIs relax on a cruising patrol boat. One squeezes a wet rag over his face. On land, a squad of soldiers does jumping jacks while army trucks drive past. Other GIs play football, shirts versus skins. At headquarters, Lieutenant Haug glares at the speaker in his office.
That is not what we program here.
AFVN, rocking you from the Delta to the DMZ.
AFVN, better than AFVD, which means you have to get a quick shot. We're moving on right now.
Now, GIs smoke and watch women go by.
Here's a little riddle for you.
What's the difference between the Army and the Cub Scouts? Cub Scouts don't have heavy artillery.
Three young boys play naked under a draining rain spout. On the street, a GI and a young Vietnamese woman ride in a scooter taxi and listen to a radio.
Hey, I'm Adrian Kronauer. I'm out again at 1600. Why? Because I have to. It's the Army.
Talking out the field today. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Bob Fever.
Bob, what do you do?
I'm in artillery.
Thank you, Bob. Isn't we play anything for you?
Anything! Just play it loud, okay?
In a river delta, GIs wearing fatigues ride on patrol boats.
You know, I have to admit something to you. I just came from Crete with women that look like Zorba.
Whoops! Thank you.
Those girls are just so pretty. Gomer, are you here in Vietnam?
Yes, I am. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Linda, why did you name your daughter Linda Bird?
Because Linda Dog would be too cruel.
Easy, girl.
Easy. You know, if you pick them up by their ears, it doesn't hurt them as much.
Oh, you're going straight to hell for that one. Watch out over there.
Here's an incredible coincidence. Ho Chi Minh, Colonel Sanders, actually the same person.
You be the judge. Our lines are open.
Something real special right now. We've got our traffic report up there on the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
He thumps his chest.
Adrian, it's not going exactly well. There's a water buffalo jackknife up there. It's not a very pretty picture. There's horns everywhere. I don't know what to say. We're going to maybe drop in a little napalm there and try and cook him down. Maybe a little barbecue.
In an office, a cigar-smoking soldier chuckles. In the country, a helicopter flies low. A laughing GI leans on the barrel of a howitzer cannon. At an army base, a speaker is mounted on a lookout tower.
We've got a special man in the audience today right now. It's Mr. Leo.
He's a fashion consultant for the Army.
In his office, Dickerson smokes a cigarette as he listens.
You know, this whole camouflage thing for me doesn't work very well. Why is that? Well, because you go in the jungle, I can't see you. You know, it's like wearing stripes and plaid. For me, I want to do something different. You know, you go in the jungle, make a statement. If you're going to fight, clash. You know what I mean?
Outside, soldiers lounge by a field radio.
Thank you for that lovely tune. That funky music will drive us till the dawn. Let's go, let's boogaloo till we puke.
That's about it for the Adrian Kronauer. I'm going to take myself out of the driver's seat, but I'm going to turn you over right now to Mr. Excitement, a man with limp, damaged hair, but nevertheless a fireball, Dan Levitan.
His colleague sits in Studio 2.
This is AFRS Radio Saigon, and yours truly, Dan the Man Levitan.
Kronauer gathers his notes and records and joins the grinning garlic in the hall. Later, they meet Drywitz and other radio guys lounging in a break room. Private Adersald enters and holds the door open as the short, grim-faced Lieutenant Hauk strides in.
Daddies!
How we already are.
Just cool your tongue, Airman, because I intend to take issue with your performance.
He puts his hands on his hips.
First of all, don't make fun of the weather here. And don't say that the weather is the same all the time here, because it's not. In fact, it's 2 degrees cooler today than yesterday.
2 degrees cooler? Me without my muff.
I'm trying to run a meeting here. You know, I hate the fact that you people never salute me. I am a lieutenant and I would like salutes occasionally. That's what being a higher rank is all about. Second.
Abersold leans close to his ear.
Programming taste.
Programming taste. Frankly, I found your I love a police action remark way out of line. How can you have the gall to compare the conflict here in Vietnam with a glass of cappuccino coffee?
Well, I was
This comes off. I was just trying to be funny.
Funny is good. Yeah. Funny is good. But then do it by using comedy and humor, not police action and coffee remarks. Furthermore, you want to stick to playing normal modes of music, not wild stuff. Those we would find acceptable here would include Lawrence Welk, Jim Nabors, Mantovani.
Percy Faith.
Percy Faith, good! Andy Williams, Perry Como, and certain ballads by Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Would Bob Dylan be out of line?
Way, way, way out of line. Former VP Richard Nixon will arrive here this week. Drywitz, I've assigned you to cover the PC.
He likes to say PC instead of press conference.
And if you do, and if you do happen to speak with him, please be polite and to the point at all times.
Affirmative, sir.
Drywitz smiles.
Good. Okay. Who do we have slated for live entertainment in November?
The sergeant producer.
We originally wanted Bob Hope, but it turns out he won't come.
Why not?
He doesn't play police actions, just wars. Bob likes a big room, sir.
That is not funny.
How about if it escalated?
Hauk steps over to the tall, buzz-cut Abersold and squints up at him.
How about if what escalated?
The Vietnam conflict.
The Vietnam conflict. We are not going to escalate a whole war just so we can book a big-name comedian. We can get Tony Bennett or Trini Lopez.
I got it. Jerry Vail. He closes the Copa on the 18th.
Is that date firm?
I got it from my niece.
Oh, come on. This is not the Catskills. Get somebody good. Get the Beach Boys. Don't dick around here.
Well, we tried, but their agent says they're still on the beach, and they won't be off the sand until November. But I'll bet.
Didn't somebody wearing my uniform and bearing a striking resemblance to myself just say that that kind of music was inappropriate?
Sorry, sir. I haven't been to sleep.
The former VP will be here on Friday. I expect every minute of the VP's PC to be taped and broadcast within 12 hours of his arrival. Something funny, Garlic, but perhaps you'd like to share it with the rest of us.
No, sir. The former vice president is a delight, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Seeing as how the VP is such a VIP, shouldn't we keep the PC on the QT? Because if it leaks to the VC, you can end up in MIA, and then we'd all be put on KP.
Hauk sends Kronauer a tight-lipped glare, then turns to Abersold, who shifts uncertainly as he tries to hide a smile.
I would like to leave the room now.
Yes, sir.
Abersold opens the door for him, then rolls his eyes as he follows Hauk into an adjoining office. Through the glass window wall, we see Hauk lecturing and gesticulating at the hapless private.
And if you do...
Later in the studio.
Eddie Kirk here, and Ray Conniff Jubilee coming up in just a few moments. I call it a jubilee. Actually, it's a Ray Conniff featurette. Three, maybe four back-to-back Ray Conniff classics.
Outside, traffic fills a grimy multi-lane street. Two teenagers ride scooters in front of Garlick's army jeep as he and Kronauer drive through town. Passing a few fruit and flower vendors, they park near a large two-story restaurant.
We're here, sir. Jimmy Wise.
They go inside.
This is the place where we like to hang out, sir.
Real homie in opium kind of way.
A well-dressed local sweeps over.
It's Jimmy Wise. He owns the place.
Hey, 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 hey. Now you say hi to me, then you smile.
Hi.
Hey, you two, what about a couple of beers?
We love a couple of beers, Jimmy.
They get a table.
Either of our names, Earl?
Calls everybody Earl.
Is it me or is Jimmy lighting the loafers?
Let me put it to you this way. He's got this thing for Walter Brennan. He says he wants to buy Nick a photograph for the actor. For 3 years he's been trying.
Walter Brennan?
You know Walter Brennan from the Real McCoys, the TV show? Anyway, there's this guy from the 1st Battalion, 2nd Infantry, who swore that he could get him naked photographs of the actor. And I've been trying to tell him that there's no go, but he won't listen to me.
Jimmy brings them two bottles.
Here you be.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Right. Any movement on the water bread and thing?
No. And it doesn't look good, Jimmy.
He look good to me.
Kronauer raises his glass.
Bobby Barbier, best beer in Vietnam.
Bobby Barbier, only beer in Vietnam.
Try it.
Kronauer sips, then spits it out.
What happened?
Formaldehyde. We put in just a touch of formaldehyde for flavor. Some people get sick, yeah. So if you have to be rushed to the hospital, then when you return, I give you a free salad.
Well, that seems fair. Really.
Outside the window, a slender girl in white walks past.
There she is. Any girl who wants me this bad, I can't let her down. The hunt is on.
Where from?
Oh, gotta catch her before she accelerates.
Kronauer and Garlic hurry outside and catch up to her.
Hi, how's Lynn doing? I'm sorry, you look like Lynn's friend from Toledo. Listen, let me make it up to you by buying a cup of coffee. Also, tea would fall into that category.
She stops.
I not think be not correct off vape, please, okay?
What did she just say?
She gets into the two-wheeled cart of a scooter taxi.
I think she likes seafood. She's getting away. Everett, get the jeep.
Okay. It's blocked in my truck. You just stay here, sir. I'll talk to the guys, okay?
We don't have time. Taxi!
Kronauer pays two men for their bikes.
Diablo, you just bike.
There's actually no rubber on these tires.
Oh, picky. Let's go, Edward. Yeah, the chase!
Kronauer hops on the better bike and pedals away down the busy street. Garlic follows. His bike's bare wheel rims slip on the pavement and he falls. Getting up, he straddles the small bike and runs it forward. Up ahead, Kronauer pedals hard, squinting under his windblown hair. Garlic follows him, pedaling down the middle of the street between two oncoming VW Beetles.
Sir!
On the other side of the river, the teenaged girl rides in the scooter taxi. Wearing a parasol-like straw hat over her black shoulder-length hair, she has smooth golden yellow skin, full lips, and almond eyes. Now, Kronauer crosses a bridge over the river. Garlic wobbles after him to the other side, where he finds himself in the path of an oncoming truck. He skids barely out of the way. Meanwhile, at a school, Kronauer peers in through a window at the girl. The calf-length white blouse of her Ao Dai flows against her white pants as she walks into a classroom of students, young and old. Garlic arrives, pedaling wearily. In the classroom, an American serviceman stands up front.
Good afternoon, class.
Garlic trudges over to Kronauer, who watches from the doorway.
Should have gotten the one with the turning wheels, pal.
I was almost killed. A truck's bumper was this far from my nose. A whole life passed before my eyes, and it wasn't even interesting to me.
How am I going to get to first base with this girl?
I want to buy some butter and some cheese, please.
Zoom right by, just the way they say it does. Stamp collections, pulling chickweed from my dad's dichondra plants, arranging rakes by sizes for my mom in the garage. I'm going to encapsulate it in 2 seconds. My life is done. I find that very alarming.
Everett, stay with me on this. I'm going to get this girl to go out with me.
You're not. This is a very different culture. You would need very specific family-sanctioned introductions.
The girl raises her hand to speak.
I never heard rhymes like that. Oh, God, I've got to be with her, at least till she learns my name.
You think the teacher would be able to date her? Possibly, but you would need
that.
Kronauer walks around the corner and steps into the classroom.
Introductions.
What we're going to talk about today is shopping. Shopping for dinner and the things you buy during in your shopping trip.
He makes his way toward the front of the room.
Specifically, excuse me.
The teacher steps over to him.
Can I help you? Yes, I have 2 months to live and I would like to teach before I die.
A teenage boy in the class glances at the girl as she stares uncertainly at Kronauer and the teacher.
I don't think you understand me, Sparky.
Kronauer slips the teacher some money. The teacher leaves, and Kronauer steps to the front of the room.
Hello, class. My name is Adrian Kronauer, and I'd like to get to know all of you by having you write down your name, address, and your home and work phone on a piece of paper and passing it forward.
Such a slow teacher. You're not supposed to be in here.
I was sent here on very strict orders from a colonel. First thing I'd like to know is what subject this is.
Is it English?
Yes, it is, and how lucky for me. Thank you very much for playing. Now, let's start off the fact that English is a fantastic language. Let's try a little phrase. I like to call, my boyfriend's back and there's going to be trouble. Hey, nah, my boyfriend's back. Can we try that one?
They all stare at him.
Can we try my boyfriend back?
Outside, Garlic shakes his head.
This is not for you.
He leaves.
Why do I feel like the miracle worker up here?
Cronauer makes a hand sign on his palm. Outside, Garlic picks up his bicycle from the ground, straddles it, and pedals away.
I can only tell you about how you can talk on maybe the real streets of America. Like, if you're walking down the streets of New York and someone comes up and says, hey,
excuse me, I would like to buy some cheese and some butter.
No, come on. Basically, if you talk to you, go, hey, man, what's happening? Oh, you look hip today. Slip me some skin. Now, if someone in America comes up and says, hey, slip me some skin, don't be afraid. They're not a leopard, and they're not going to go... No, it means like, hey, baby, slip me some skin. It's a greeting. It's like, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Slip me some skin. Now, here's how you do it. You say...
One student holds out his palm, and Cronauer slides his palm over it.
Me? Say, yeah. And then you say, groovy. Yeah. Say that.
Groovy.
Yes! Baby! If something's really nice, you say, it's groovy. Doesn't mean you're like...
He pretends to slip.
Groovy. Try that one. Say, hey, baby, what's happening? Let's groove.
Hey, baby, what's happening? Let's groove.
The girl laughs with the others. Later, the students walk out.
Mr. Cronauer, we're liking you.
Well, I'm liking you, too.
You teach American thing, okay?
Okay.
Play game of softball.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll try and do that. Forget the equipment.
The teenage boy stands in Cronauer's way.
You forget the girl.
I'll let her say no.
She is saying no. That is what walking with you means.
Hey, I'm interested in the girl. I'm not interested in you playing Dear Abby.
Thanks. I know, because she's my sister.
I would, however, love to buy you lunch, maybe look at a family album. Come on.
I'm not like you, sir.
Why not? I got a great personality. You ask anybody.
You phony. Like American and Frenchy for you. Here to get something, leave me when you not get it. You come into my class, so many people are like me. You come for the girl, you get her, you go.
Okay, Sherlock, yeah. I bribed my way to meet the girl. You got me, bang. But hey, I like the class, so I'm gonna stay. Let's be friends, okay? Come on. Come on.
You like me because of my sister.
No. I like you because you're honest. Because you're shorter than I am. We look like a before and after picture. Now, come on, let me buy you a beer.
Sometimes your face looks like a fish in a Gulf of Thailand.
It's true. Very true. It's an insult, isn't it?
You can buy me lunch, but please forget about my sister. I'm no American. I see a girl the type rest they like, and they put her in a fancy car, and they buy her some expensive food, and then lie about money, and then try to take her into a bed.
So, what's wrong with that?
It's money about here.
They stroll through an outdoor market.
Is there any food on the street that doesn't give you diarrhea?
You wanting some?
Later, Cronauer holds a bowl of stringy stew.
What the hell is this?
Oh, she poured in mama noodle soup with fish ball.
Didn't know they had bowls.
Eat.
I can't. Still paddling.
No, it's okay. And I'll tell you okay otherwise. You like it. You see, you don't trust in me.
I trust you, man. It's just that... I can't eat something that looks like a cesspool.
You mad, I trust you, but true, you not trust me. You want to be my friend, you're trusting me. You would eat it.
Hey, I want to be your pal. Here. Hey, I'll eat it. Bigger.
He eats a chunky spoonful and spits it out. His young friend grins broadly.
My ow! This stuff is burning the hair off my feet.
Hot?
No, hot? No, it's fucking great.
He manages a thumbs up.
You say it's a little spicy.
A little, yeah.
An old woman laughs at him.
Isn't that funny? You like that, too?
He pretends to poke his eyes out.
A little of this. She likes the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
He snaps his fingers.
I'm looking silly.
Later, Cronauer takes the boy to Jimmy Waugh's.
You old enough for this question?
I think so.
Hi, good to see you again.
Look at the new friend.
Oh, a little too young for you.
I want to show you something very nice. Oh, you look wonderful.
Jimmy points to a nearby GI's high-top boot.
Sure. Look at the shape of that soldier ankle. The way they so elegantly curve into his boot. Let me get some photo of those ankles and give you my ball.
You're a very sick man. You know that, don't you?
Thank you.
Kronauer finds Dreiwitz and his friends at a table.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the new voice of Saigon, Adrian Kronauer!
He swings his arm like an applause meter.
Not enough for the car.
What happened with the girl?
That didn't work out. I want to introduce you to someone right now from my English class. This is Tuan, the guy.
Aerosol waves. Dreiwitz stands.
Hi, Tuan. Long time no tweet.
Garlic points across the room.
Those are gorgeous girls.
Some slinky Vietnamese women fawn over two GIs.
I'll never have them. I've always wanted girls like that, but I've always had trouble, especially as a young child.
Who the hell gets laid as a young child? And stop calling them gals. Cowgirls are called guys. Those are gorgeous French, Vietnamese, B-girls. Don't ruin it by conjuring up images of Dale Evans, all right?
But can you believe the shape of those gals? The girls.
The slender women wear tight dresses that show off their long, bare legs.
You know, those behinds are designed by a Jewish scientist in Switzerland, Dr. Feintusch.
Dr. Heine Feintusch?
I'm sitting there trying to figure out how to meet them, but nobody can come up with any good line.
Kronauer stands up.
A girl.
He flashes a wad of money.
Pardon me, girls. Excuse me, girls. Hello.
They look over.
Hello. Come on. Yeah.
As the burly GIs stare sullenly, the three smiling girls leave them and come over. Aerosol frowns. The producer beckons them. Dreiwitz sits one on his lap.
Hello, I'm William Holden.
Garlic gapes uncomfortably as another girl sits on his lap. Aerosol looks around.
How come I don't get one?
Dan Levitan. Probably heard my radio.
Young Tuan watches them with a tight smile. Behind him, the two GIs come over to the table.
I said, who brought in the fucking goof?
Jimmy Wah looks over. Tuan and Kronauer get up.
A khaki eclipse.
I better go now.
I did. Hey, come on now. If you kick out the gooks, the next thing you have to kick out the chinks, the spicks, the spooks, and kikes, and all that's going to be left in here are a couple of brain-dead rednecks. And what fun would that be?
That's when I stopped talking.
Now, come on. Let me buy you a cup of beers. How about
Are you crazy?
I might...
Shut up!
Okay.
One GI shoves Tuan to the floor. Kronauer blocks the burly man's path.
Hey, come on now.
We got to prove something, knocking on little Vietnamese kids here?
This is the GI bar. We don't like gooks. We don't want them here. You just get him out.
Everybody say go, but all right.
Kronauer stands face to face with the GI.
I gotta tell you something, you know. I've been all around the world, seen a lot of places and a lot of people. I have never ever in my travels come across a man as large as you, with as much muscles, who has absolutely no penis.
He headbutts him. The GI topples back. Kronauer tries to headbutt the other GI, but he only hits his chest, and the GI decks him. Levitan and Aerosol jump the guy. Beer bottles crash to the floor. Later, Kronauer sits in Sergeant Major Dickerson's office.
Talk. These two behemoths were physically abusing a Vietnamese national. I thought since we're here to defend the
country. So you start a brawl, turn the place upside down, real intelligent solution. Do you have any idea how ridiculous it makes me look to have a man under my command start a fucking bar brawl?
He spots Garlic watching through the glass wall. Garlic busies himself. Dickerson leans over his desk, his eyes smoldering.
You're not going to last long here, pal.
You can always send me back to Crete.
Oh, you think this is a joke? I can come up with alternatives other than Crete. I'm real good at stuff like that. I got people stuck in places they haven't even considered how to get out of yet. You don't think I can come up with something good? Can you envision some fairly unattractive alternatives?
Not without slides.
A bar brawl, that's one, Kronauer. You better stay cool. You better not get involved in anything. You better not even come within range of anything that happens. Or your ass is grass and I'm a lawnmower. Am I being fairly clear?
Yes, sir.
Sir!
He points to his stripes.
Do you see anything on this uniform indicating an officer? What does three up and three down mean to you, Airman?
End of an inning.
Sergeant Major. Now you get the hell out of here right now.
Kronauer stands and walks to the door. Dickerson straightens and watches him go.
Ba, 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 ba.
Later, in a dark room, Drywit stands at attention. A pillow hits him in the face.
Wake up, Mr. Sleepyhead. You are late.
Now, a teletype prints a bulletin. Two Marines were court-martialed today for their July attempt to steal a plane and raid Hanoi. Kronauer brings the latest bulletins to the twin sensors.
Gentlemen, what can I say? Hiya.
Hiya. Hiya.
Okay, which one of you guys is throwing his voice?
One of them crosses out a bulletin about a terrorist bomb explosion in Saigon.
Join the army and mark things. Hey, come on, what kind of news you leave me there? Nixon? Singapore? Lake Erie? Come on.
Come on, you're on like 2 seconds.
Kronauer hurries into his studio and sets up.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hello, campers. Remember, Monday is malaria day. That's why it's time to take that big orange pill and get ready for the Ho Chi Minh two-step.
Sugar and spice and all things nice. Kiss her sweeter than wine.
In the country, we fly low over an army base of barracks and olive drab tents. A patrol boat on a nearby river flies an American flag next to a GI manning a machine gun. Now a helicopter lands, settling jerkily.
We're back. Here's the news. All the news that's new and approved by the U.S. Army, the sweetest-smelling army in the world. Great Britain recognized the island state of Singapore. How do you recognize an island? You go, hey, wait, no, don't tell me. Wait. Didn't we meet last year at the Feynman Bar Mitzvah? You look a lot like Hawaii. Didn't we meet last year at the Peninsula Club? No, Pope Paul VI celebrated a mass in Italian. Whoa, call me crazy, he's in Rome. You know, one day I want to meet him and kiss his ring and have a go. The Mississippi River broke through a protective dike today. What is a protective dike? Is that a large woman standing by the river going, don't go near there?
The Betty.
Don't go near there. Get away from the river. Stay away from there. I know we can't use the word dyke. You can't even say lesbian. It's women in comfortable shoes. Thank you very much. Now, here's the weather. We're going to go right to Roosevelt. Roosevelt, how's it going? Adrian, I'm with somebody. Don't ever come here and bother me right now. Well, thanks, Roosevelt. Can't you give us a little weather? Not now, man. I'm on the balcony. I'm trying to score. Back off. Well, what's the weather like? You got a window? Open it. Thank you, Roosevelt. We'll have to go to someone else for the weather. I guess we'll have to go all the way to Washington, Weather Central, to Walter Cronkite. Walter, what's the weather like?
I just want to begin by saying to Roosevelt, what it is, what it shall be, what it was. Weather out there today is hot and shitty.
One of the sensors stares at him through the window.
Tomorrow, chance of continued crappy with a pissy weather front coming down from the north.
Lieutenant Hauck strides up a hallway.
Okay, we're going to hit some songs at you right now. Coming your way.
What the hell was that? Crappy weather, shitty weather?
Comedy, sir.
Comedy? No, this is not comedy. Comedy is fun. It's antics, hysterical-type things.
Hysterical-type things, Airman Kronauer, requesting you to elaborate, sir.
Antics, damn it. Comedy of errors, like the Keystone Cops falling down. General wackiness like that.
Falling down? That's a sight gag. How would anyone see you fall down on the radio, sir?
No. Not literally falling down.
It definitely wouldn't work on a radio, sir.
Yes, sir.
What I mean is in the spirit of the Keystone Cops.
Abersold comes sir, in.
I don't think anybody would see you fall through a radio, sir. If a field radio.
What are you doing here?
Well, I thought I'd come and help smooth things out.
Don't help and don't smooth. And you, are not funny, but you are a maniac, and you'd better start changing your life.
Hauck turns to go.
Sir, thank you for that constructive criticism. It's a privilege to take comedy notes from a man of your stature.
Fine. Just don't let it happen again.
Kronauer gives him a thumbs up. Hauck clenches his jaw and walks out.
The dictionary under asshole, it says, see him.
Why am I here? We're going to play some music for you right now. Here we go. Here's a little James Brown coming your way. Baby, help me, please.
Wow! I feel good.
Kronauer dances.
I knew that I wouldn't.
In the field, a helicopter arrives at China Beach headquarters, where a GI rigs an outdoor speaker. On a boat, a gunner swivels his anti-aircraft gun. Sentries hold M-16s at the ready. Back in the studio, Kronauer does pelvic thrusts to the beat. Two choppers fly low over a rice paddy. Transport trucks bounce along a dusty road.
My love can't do me no harm, and I feel...
on a base, a GI boogies in his fatigue pants and t-shirt. Kronauer clutches his microphone. In the country, a thatched hut burns to the ground. Bright orange flames billow.
Kill him, Dean! Hurt him now! Good God! Help me! Work through it! Ow!
Kronauer beckons the twin censors in the next room. They frown back at him, unmoved. Meanwhile, other staff man the phones. So
good! Oh, sir, Walter Cronkite lives in New Jersey.
It was a joke, sir.
Yes!
Sarcasm, sir.
Up in Bergen County.
Well, that's a form of humor, sir.
Hackensack!
Yes, sir.
Oh, I know.
I'll make sure he gets the message. Yes. We're pretty happy with him, too, sir.
Yes, I'm sure wasn't Walter Cronkite.
I will tell him, sir.
Didn't I speak to you before?
Okay, sir, thank you.
Later, Kronauer teaches his English class.
All right, let's recap now, okay. If someone is not telling the truth, you say that they are full of...
Cheers!
Okay, if someone is making you angrier and angrier, therefore you have...
Pissed me off!
Okay, join the others if you can. All right, let's see. If you say that, hey, some people in the car, some gypsies, they cut you off. All of a sudden, you...
Flip them the
bird!
Very good. Okay, now we got a special situation right now. Okay, there's a Puerto Rican waitress. She comes over, brings you a little thing of red soup. She's got some tomato soup. Oh, she slips. She spills it on your brand new gabardine pants that you paid more than the color TV for. You're a little angry, so you say to her, Min?
Look what you did. And goddamn it. And stupid. And crap.
That's stupid. You don't call someone crap.
No, you step on crap. You don't call it to a person.
You can't step on crap. No, you can't.
Yes, but it can be full of shit. He said.
No, you see, you step in shit, you can be full of crap.
I'm pretty sure you can step on crap. I once saw it in a French movie.
How can some person look like a shit? It's impossible.
I think, okay, let's stop with the, we can stop with the debate on the great Krakow right now. Let's try a very special situation. Wilkie, something special, okay? So you go into a restaurant, okay? A waitress comes up to you. You're wearing your best new suit. She comes up, she spills soup all over you. Looks at you like, hey, I'm sorry, what are you going to do about it, asshole? What do you say to her? What would you say? They spilled something on your pants, what would they do? What would you do?
I do nothing.
Come on, Wilkie, it's cursing class. You're getting a little pissed off. What would you do?
I just remain reticent.
Okay, she goes in the kitchen, she gets a knife, she starts stabbing you. She's stabbing you, she's putting forks in you, she's got spoons in your eyes, Will. They're starting to cut you with knives, they're putting spoons in your eyes. What would you do, Will? What would you do?
I'm waiting to die.
After class, they walk outside.
Mr. Connor, we like your lessons better than the books.
Can you play baseball? You're kicking off so
far. Well, first you have to have a little spring training. When I think you're ready, I'll try.
Where do you come from?
Queens. Bayside Queens.
What are Queens?
Tall, thin men who like show tunes. No? Big men with mustaches named Mary who wear mascara.
Tuan translates to his sister. She laughs and walks away with the others. Kronauer starts after her.
Relax already, crazy American. I make a date with you in train tomorrow.
Did?
We have a large street. Near Vietnam, by the food and flour vendors, when you burn your mouth to the noodles.
What's that?
The noodles, remember? When you burn your mouth?
God, yeah.
But I warn you, you're not like it when you get there. You say it's ridiculous.
Why? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
The next day, Trin stands with a dozen family members.
God, this could be very ugly.
Kronauer joins them.
Chaperon! In Vietnam, family often come. Did you meet someone?
Hello? Well, the gang's all here. Oh, God help me.
They walk through the market.
Well, you know, you're very beautiful.
Trin smiles.
You're also very quiet. And I'm not used to girls being that quiet unless they're medicated. Normally, I go out with girls who talk so much you can hook them up to a wind turbine and they could power a small New Hampshire town.
You talk, I think, very much.
Well, you see, I'm not used to going on a date with a grand jury, and it makes me a little nervous.
I don't want to make you nervous for now. I know you're very nice.
and for trusting. She is the best on the gentry of what you say, and never to be forgotten, the same in another.
Well, I had you there, baby, and then you lost me at the end.
In the market, some of the men and women shop for clothes.
Hey, Uncle Phil. Hey,
Cornhour walks around handing out money.
Hey, there we go for you.
Trin watches her smile fading.
Knock yourselves out. What's 1/13 of a dollar among friends? Come on. No problem.
He catches Trin's eye and they stand face to face. Trin bows her head.
Hey, listen. I know there's no way. But it doesn't mean we can't have a few laughs. Hey, I'll take whatever you can give because I'm just happy to be with you. You want to see a movie or something?
Trin looks around.
You must ask the people.
No problem. Attention, shoppers. People settle.
Later, the whole the family waits in line at a cinema showing Shout Beach Blanket Bingo.
You know that? You know any American songs at all?
Puff the Magic Dragon.
You know Puff the Magic Dragon? You sing it?
Puff the Magic Dragon, living by the tree.
They reach the ticket seller.
Hey, 12.
Up my high.
Later in the movie, Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello sing on a beach.
That's a game for me and you now. Yeah, let's give it a whirl. Beach blanket,
in the audience, Trin's older relatives watch as the movie shows teenagers in skimpy bathing suits dancing on a beach. Later, subtitles in English, Vietnamese, and French read, "If they passed her up, I have a feeling we should too." In the audience, Cronauer and Trin sit with a mother and daughter between them.
My
thoughts exactly.
Now, a teletype prints, U.S. military leaders in Saigon urge Secretary of Defense McNamara to approve a force level of 350,000 to 400,000 U.S. soldiers. Cronauer and Garlett watch the message come up.
Why can't I read this? What's going on here now?
They never approve of that being released.
That's censorship, Edward. That's not what America's all about.
We're not in America, sir. Can we please not get into this right now? You're in the middle of a show.
Jesus, you can put amphetamine freaks to sleep with this shit. Got an agreement on Guam? Sounds like bird droppings. Oh, here's something exciting. Hubert Humphrey visits Capitol Hill. Sounds like a children's story. That's it, I'm reading this.
No, I can't let you do that.
Oh, Edward, don't you ever do anything. It's not by the book.
Not when I get into trouble. No, I don't.
You know, Eddie, sometimes you gotta specifically go out of your way to get into trouble. It's called fun.
What's that?
Come on, take some chances once in a while, Edward. That's what life's all about.
Find anything?
Now I have to make something up.
Cronauer sits at the mic.
Hey, we're back. That last few seconds of silence was Marcel Marceau's newest hit single, Walkin' in the Wind. And now, here are the headlines.
He jiggles his throat.
Ah, here they come at you right now. Pope actually found to be Jewish. Liberace is Anastasia. And Ethel Merman jams Russian radar. The East Germans today claim that the Berlin Wall was a fraternity prank. Also, the Pope decided today to release Vatican-related bath products. An incredible thing. Yes, it's a new Pope on a rope. It's right. Pope on a rope. Wash with it. Go straight to heaven. Thank you. Ethel Merman today uses a test to jam Russian radar. Here's a brief test of that jamming. Hello, I've got a feeling that love is here to stay. When asked for a reply, the Russians went, "What the hell was that?" Here's a news flash. Today, President Lyndon Johnson passed a highway beautification bill. The bill basically said that his daughters could not drive in a convertible on public highways. Hey, we got a great show coming your way today. Former Vice President Richard Nixon's in town. That's right. The big dick is here. Get ready. I think there's an incredible coincidence here. I think he sounds exactly like Mr. Ed. You be the judge. I tell you this. Now listen. Wilbur, come in the room. An incredible coincidence. Some more songs. Moving on into the dawn. We're the Dawn Busters. Yes!
What if you want me to all right? It's all right.
In another room, Dan Levitan snaps his fingers and sways his hips.
The request will be taken pretty soon. Request? What am I going to take requests? Where can you call from? Yeah, I'm in a phone booth out in the DMZ. I'm trying to call you right now.
Cronauer rifles through some records, then puts on a straw hat.
Now,
Hello, baby. Hello.
Getting up, he swings the microphone boom to the pair of turntables. Later, he flips a control switch to transmit and pumps his fist. Discarding a handful of 45s, one by one, he dances and stretches his headphone cord. The producer gives him two thumbs up.
Once again, we've got our friend from military intelligence. Can you tell us what you've found out about the enemy since you've been here?
We found out that we can't find them. They're out there, and we're having a major difficulty in finding the enemy.
What do you use to look for them?
Well, we ask people, are you the enemy? And whoever says yes, we shoot them.
He rocks back and forth to the music.
It's very difficult to find a Vietnamese man named Charlie. They're all named Nguyen or Dao or things like that. It's very difficult for me.
Is it true that you're actually too close to some of the nerve agents that they were testing?
Nerve gas?
Yes. Have you used that in?
Well, once, yes, on myself, and it had no...
Whoa! Whoa!
No effect on me. I've had no actual... Whoa! Yahoo!
No! No! Beep dogs! Beep dogs! Landing on my face!
I don't know what that means.
Hey, that's it for me. I'm out of here. That's the end of the Adrian Cronauer. But I'm going to turn you over right now to Mr. Warmth, Dan the Tan Levitan.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
Garlick and Drywitz come in with a tape reel.
Nixon's press conference.
Well, wait till you hear it. He's this far from sincerity.
Listen, let me just feel my face. Just a moment. Come on.
As Cronauer heads for the door, Hauk strides in.
Where do you imagine you're going?
Just gonna get a little something to eat.
You don't have time. You'll stay here and drink instant beverage or something. We promised our listening audience Nixon highlights by 4 p.m.
I've been on the air for 4 hours. I'm a little hungry.
That's a joke, right? I get it.
No, I'm actually hungry.
Well, I'm actually giving you an order.
Hauk leaves. Cronauer raises his eyebrows.
Oh,
it's an order. In that case, gentlemen, let's edit.
Later, at Jimmy Waugh's, Cronauer has lunch. Jimmy comes over wagging his finger.
Aha! You again. No more fighting, okay?
Oh, you got it, James. Nice, shiny green suit. You look like an Oriental leprechaun.
You like it? I got it in Hong Kong. Home of the shiny green suit.
Outside, servicemen listen to the radio.
This war will be won.
In the studio, a reel-to-reel tape plays.
Very appropriately, as you have suggested, give and take.
Well, I really didn't make that suggestion, sir. I'm sorry.
The United States.
In his office, Hauk listens.
Why would Cronauer's voice be on this tape?
I don't know, Lieutenant.
Mr. Nixon, thank you for that concise political commentary, but I think I'd like to delve into something slightly more personal for the men in the field. How would you describe your testicles?
That they're soft, but that they're shallow, that they have no purpose.
What are you saying, God, sir?
That they lack the physical strength.
How would you describe your sex life with your wife, Pat?
It is unexciting sometimes.
Well, have you considered possibly a sex change? There is an operation that can transform you into a female great dane.
Please don't do this to me.
A very well-hung chihuahua.
Mr. Nixon, while you've been in Vietnam, it's rumored that you smoked marijuana.
In the studio, Garlick and Drywitz crack up.
Back to the United States. How would you do that?
Hauk bursts in and whacks the machine.
I said cut it off!
Sir.
Where is Cronauer?
Still eating, sir.
I want to see him ASAP.
What, sir?
As soon as possible.
Garlick sits
PG,
at the mic.
Sir.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you an emergency selection of the Benny Goodman Orchestra.
Later, Hauk and Dickerson visit the general.
Lieutenant, we get hundreds, maybe thousands of calls and letters each week. Fan mail. He's the first man in the history of Armed Forces Radio to get fan mail. Every GI in this country is glued to his radio twice a day at 0600 hours and 1600 hours to hear that lunatic.
Sir, the man has got an irreverent tendency. He did a very off-color parody of former VP Nixon.
I thought it was hilarious.
Respectfully, sir, the former VP is a good man and a decent man.
Bullshit. I know Nixon personally. He lugs a trainload of shit behind him that would fertilize a cyanide. Well, I wouldn't buy an apple from the son of a bitch, and I consider him a good, close, personal friend.
Let's get down to business here, General. What the hell's going on here?
We've got a mounting crisis in this country. We've got a DJ that the men dearly love. If you two have personal problems, solve them, will you? Thank you, Lieutenant.
Hauk stares at the General.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Standing, he salutes his superior and walks out, leaving Dickerson with the General.
Speak your peace, Dick.
Due respect, sir. I have over 15 years command experience in this army. Do you really expect me to run this radio station with nothing to say and no way to do it?
Right now, yes.
Dickerson salutes.
Yes, sir.
Later, he and Hauk walk downstairs and leave the building.
This is not over yet.
At Jimmy Waugh's, Twan finds Kronauer nursing a beer.
Why are you still here?
Bucky. Sitting back, having a cup of formaldehyde.
You see, after you got with Trin, you meet me to talk and discuss about her.
Nothing to discuss. She doesn't like me.
Yes, she do.
No, she don't.
She do liking you. She want to meet you today. She's not far from here.
I can't. I gotta be back on the air again.
Be happy to meet her today. Otherwise, you meet your big chance.
I don't want to miss my big chance.
Yes, come to go.
Sound like you learned English from Tonto. Come, we go.
Come on.
Okay. Kronauer comes outside and they walk away.
Still can't believe she really wants to see me.
Yeah.
I guess that beach movie really impressed her, huh? I gotta get her something. What about bananas?
No.
No, that doesn't say the right thing. You're right. How
about... The restaurant explodes behind them, knocking them to the ground. Kronauer squints back through a cloud of smoke. Now, a teletype prints, a bomb exploded at 1430 hours at Jimmy Waugh's. An American lies dead on the ground with his chest torn open. A woman in tears runs to Jimmy Waugh as South Vietnamese soldiers swarm onto the scene. A local official helps a young woman press her hand to her leg wound, then signals for help. Amid the chaos, Kronauer wanders unhurt. Flames blaze in the windows of the restaurant. The teletype prints the words, "Plastique Explosive." Two men carry the wounded woman between them. As a GI stands guard, hose water drips like rain from the burning building's facade. The teletype prints more. Three GIs were wounded. At the scene, two men haul away a dead American. Kronauer watches somberly, then swallows hard. Jimmy Waugh staggers over, his face and fancy suit stained with mud.
Oh, my bomb! Why? Do that!
Fire hoses spray the restaurant. On the ground, a serviceman's cap lies among soggy debris. Soldiers keep back the frantic bystanders. Kronauer and an MP stand over a line of dead bodies.
You can't just leave her in this shit here.
This poor gone, soldier.
One American lies dead in a puddle, his shirt soaked with blood. Kronauer helps a Vietnamese soldier pick him up.
Get back!
Jimmy Waugh turns away, grimacing in anguish. Kronauer squats beside the dead serviceman. Lifting his gaze to the confusion around him, he pants for breath. Later, at headquarters, he rips the news report from the teletype and strides past the censors.
Hey, where's he going?
One of the censors snatches the paper from his hand.
You're doing. You know you're forbidden to read anything not checked by
this
office.
What's the check? I was there.
Airman, you know the rules. If this is a legitimate news story, it must go through proper channels.
Listen, Tweedledee, it's an actual event. Where do you think this came from? Shaving? It's the truth. I just want to report the truth. It'd be a nice change of pace.
Okay? What's going on here?
Sir, will you listen to me?
Dickerson reads the reports.
This is not official news, Airman. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen.
It did happen.
You shut your mouth.
What are you afraid of, Dickerson? People might find out there's a war going on.
This news is not official, Airman.
You want everyone going to the assumption it's perfectly safe here, don't you? Well, it's not. The fighting's not just in the hills, it's downtown. It's a couple of fucking blocks.
I said it is none of your goddamn business.
See your point. Sorry. I guess I get inside, hit these air conditioners, I get a little dizzy. Thanks for setting me straight. You'll be okay.
He goes into the studio. A Dickerson watches through the big glass window as Cronauer takes his seat in front of the microphone and slips on the headphones. Drywitz broadcasts from Studio 2. Cronauer looks at Drywitz, then at Dickerson in the hallway. He leans into his mic.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, I know it's not the morning, but that's my trademark. And good evening sounds too depressing. Hey, we're going right now to news. From England. Today, Princess Margaret threw a shoe. Easy match. Also, Elizabeth Taylor! Elizabeth Taylor! She's still married after 6 months. Way to go, Liz! Hey! Right! In Saigon today, according to official sources, nothing actually happened. One thing that didn't officially happen was a bomb didn't officially explode at 1430 hours, unofficially destroying Jimmy Waugh's cafe.
Get him out of there!
Three men were unofficially wounded, and two men whose identities are still not known at this time.
In the hallway.
Break the goddamn door down!
Police and ambulance and fire department responded, but believed to be unofficial at this present moment.
Dickerson gets inside.
Turn it off now!
I just wanted to think that you should.
The meter needle drops to zero, and Cronauer freezes, his mouth half open. Behind the glass, Drywitz stands motionless, staring at Cronauer. In the hallway, Dickerson looks through the window, frowns, and walks off. Cronauer slides off his headphones and swivels the mic to the side. Brushing his hand over his face, he stares down at the unlit meter needle. The producer leaves his booth, and our view glides backward, past Cronauer's hunched shoulders, through a window, and into the censor's office. One of the stocky, mustached censors scans a report as we pass through another window and into the teletype room. Later, with General Taylor.
Man should be court-martialed, sir.
You think this is the most serious set of affairs I have to address this week? Because not.
I can't believe you're going to pass on this, General. The man is a goddamn subversive.
You made a mistake, Dick.
Mistake, sir? I don't want to be around when he broadcasts U.S. troop movements to the other side. I run the station according to strict guidelines set by military intelligence.
Military intelligence? There's a contradiction in terms.
Sir, the man is a walking keg of dynamite.
In the 8 weeks he's been on the air, General, he's disobeyed orders as to style and content. He's read unofficial news. What's he going to be like in 6 months? What's he going to be like when he's 10 times as popular, General? How easy is it going to be to get him off the air then?
Who'll do the Cronauer show?
Well, Hauk can do it, sir. Until I find a replacement.
Okay, for now, I'll suspend him.
Sir, you've made the correct choice.
Now, in a bar, Cronauer has shrimp heads with long feelers on his fingertips.
Set me free, why don't you there? Set me free, why don't you there? You don't really need me. You just keep me steaming on. Thank you very much.
I'll introduce the members of the band. Larry, Pisces, thank you very much.
Your bottle.
What do you say?
See, you drink too much already.
Well, tell him I drink so I can be this funny.
Twan sits, listening to the waiter.
It's not funny at all, he said.
Tell him thanks. It's nice to bomb in another language.
You will get sick if you drink some more. Come on. My village is not too far from here. You can come there for resting. You can see how we live.
Listen, Sparky. I don't think seeing your little production of our town is going to cheer me up.
You see a train there?
I'll drive.
Now, in the studio, Hauk sits at the microphone. The others look on.
Sir, reading the news is one thing, but this stuff you wrote, it's not funny, sir. It's sad.
Sir, I'm begging you. Don't try to do comedy. It's not in your blood.
I'll do fine. Comedy is what you make it. I've got pages and pages of great material. Right, Abersold?
I'm afraid you're going to be hitting bottom, sir.
If it isn't funny, then why did I hear you laughing when you typed it?
I was thinking of something else.
Thank you for your support. Now I've got a show to do.
Sir, you're not funny. Ask around.
Ask me. Sir, with all due respect, I think you might lay an egg. I mean, a big egg. I mean, I know funny. I don't think you're it. Such as like me, I'm not much with power tools.
He gets on the mic.
Hey, that was the great, exciting sound of Petula Clark.
Beach Boys, those were guys.
Of the Beach Boys. Hey, that wraps up for me, Marty Lee Drywitz. Agent Cronauer is on temporary assignment, but boy, do I have a surprise for you.
Don't build him up. You only let him down.
Please welcome to the microphone the Lieutenant of Laughs, the Officer of Oral, the Westmoreland of wit, swinging Stephen Houck.
Houck reads from a script.
Hello, Vietnam, and greetings. Soon the news. Then, Lieutenant Steve, who's that? It's me, your old pal Frenchie.
Listen, Frenchie, let me ask you something. Do you like good food? Oh, but of course, the French love good food. Well, then I guess that would make you an Edie Gourmet. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve.
The men bow their heads.
Frenchie, you know, I really shouldn't kid Frenchie because sometimes he stand getting mad at me and he could out-hurt me. Lieutenant Steve, let's play some music. Okay, Frenchie, what would you like to hear? Well, I love a good polka as much as the next man. Well, a good polka it is for my good friend, Frenchie.
Houck leans back, crosses his arms, and glares into the production booth.
I think some apologies are in order.
Downtown, Kronauer drives an army jeep. He flips a local driver the bird. Meanwhile, in the studio...
You're not going to continue this broadcast, are you, sir?
Houck's brown eyes glare back at him. Downtown, Kronauer drives under banners strung across the road. He turns down a residential street, passing a table set up on the corner, holding jars filled with olives and colored liquids. Later... Juan leads Kronauer into an airy, sunlit forest. They follow a path through towering trees and leafy, waist-high undergrowth. In a clearing, they gaze at a 20-foot-high stone-carved Buddha. Beside the statue, monks in orange robes sit cross-legged. Incense smoke wafts from a table set before the Buddha's lap.
What are they doing?
Oh, they're Buddhas. They're sitting for peace, wisdom, and knowledge. They're waiting for enlightenment.
The rail-thin monks have shaved heads and sit in a row. Later, in a dirt pen, a long-horned cow chomps on grass. Tuan and Kronauer walk through a village. A shirtless man pounds grain with a wooden pole.
This man, who's won some from blasting an American mine. His father and brother was killed by French long ago. I think that's not fair to him.
They stroll past a pole hut with a thatch roof. In the village, a little boy with a bamboo stick runs barefoot in the dirt, chasing a rooster. Kronauer sits on the ground with Tuan's family. Wearing green fatigues and a cap, he stares across the small group at Trinh. An old woman notices and cracks a toothless grin. An elderly man brushes the bangs from Trinh's smooth face. Trinh smiles, then lowers her eyes. Kronauer listens to them with a grin. Nearby, the barefoot youngster drops a chicken into a hollow tree stump. The dark feathered bird jumps out and scurries away. In the group, a mother holds up a baby dressed in a red t-shirt. The squirming infant has white powder on its head and face. The family watches as Kronauer puts an aluminum pot lid on his head and grins at the baby.
It's quite no big deal. Look, how loving can you feel when you got that moment when? Don't you know that the time can be that away? Whack a whack, whack a whack, whack a whack. And don't you know that the thing gonna be? And you feel that the time you see, and I won't watch a whack, whack a whack, whack a whack. I know. And I'm moving. Look, up there. Pull! Pull!
He lowers the silvery lid like a flying saucer. Near the feeding chickens, the barefoot boy pees on the ground. Later, giant palm fronds sway in the wind. Below, on a narrow ridge separating lush rice paddies, Kronauer ambles behind Trinh.
Do not understand. Do not. We no future together, Kronauer. My country may be no future.
Yeah, I like you. I just want to be your friend, okay? I don't understand.
I not can do this, Kronauer. No, no friend, Kronauer. Not for me. My brother, okay, friends. But Vietnam ladies, not friends. Please. Okay. Not friends.
Trinh turns away and walks on, alone. Kronauer stares into the wind.
Great week.
Trinh follows the narrow earthen ridge through the flooded rice paddies toward her village under the palms. The scene fades to black. Now, in darkness, a horizontal shaft of light widens as a mechanical door lowers and forms a ramp. Beyond the opening, soldiers march in double time past an airplane. In our plane, soldiers dressed in green uniforms and caps wait in single file. The GIs trot down the ramp, each one shouldering a duffel bag and a rifle. In the studio, Hauk grins at his microphone.
That's about as good a polka as you'll ever hear.
No. In the communications room.
He has surgically removed. You want Kronauer back in the room.
You want him back in the room.
We want Kronauer back in the room. We've got duffel bags filled with information asking for Kronauer's reinstatement. The men all hate Hauk. They want Kronauer back. He's an exhilarating personality, and polkas are just no substitute.
I think I see a pattern forming here.
Sir, these letters are unequivocal, E.G. Hey, Hawk, eat a bag of shit. You suck. That's pretty much to the point, sir. Not much gray area in this one.
We got one positive call from some guy in Wichita who thought Hawk's comedy was visionary and interesting. The other 1,100 calls said that the man can't do comedy to save his dick.
That's a direct quote, sir.
I've taken 90 calls this morning. They just don't like Hawk.
From a Marine in Da Nang, Captain Hawk sucks the sweat off a dead man's balls. I have no idea what that means, sir, but it seemed very negative to me.
I think the troops are trying to tell us something, fellas.
Later.
Sir, if it is my programming choices, I can change. I've been broadcasting the polkas because I thought a certain segment of the men weren't represented by Kronauer's broadcast of rock and roll. But I can easily play an occasional Gary Lewis record.
We don't make a damn whether you play polkas or don't play polkas. Military politics. Nothing personal. The men just like him better than they do you.
He maliciously and with purposeful intent read unofficial news.
No. You made a mistake. We all make a mistake. Now, this thing is a delicate balance over here. And I don't want it dependent on a disc jockey. Men want him back, I want him back.
Sir, you heard from the men who don't like my humor. But what about the silent masses who do? And as far as pokers, they are a much maligned musical taste.
Lieutenant, you don't know whether you're shot, fuck, powder bird, or snake bit. I don't care about pokers. They're riding in way. We're bringing in thousands of troops every month. Terrorism's on the uprise in Saigon. The problems of this country have not one goddamn thing to do with whether you play pokers or don't play pokers. The men want him back. I want him back. Reinstate the man.
Sir, in my heart, I know I'm funny.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
He salutes. Hauk stiffly salutes and walks out. Later, Garlick finds Kronauer on the John.
There you are, sir.
Please, don't call me sir.
It just came down the pike. You're back on the air, sir.
I'm not going on.
What do you mean you're not going on?
You don't understand what I said, baby. You should take my English class. I'm not going on.
Very attractive man, Ebersole. Don't think I haven't noticed.
Kronauer shaves.
You'll be bored, you know. What are you going to do with your time?
I don't know. I may go downtown and look for a Vietnamese man named Phil. I may just stay here and listen to old Pat Boone records. Try and find some hidden meaning. Because basically, I believe that man is a misunderstood genius.
Genius? What are you saying to me?
I'm saying I'm through, Ed. I'm tired of people telling me what I can't say. This news is unofficial. That comment is too sarcastic. I can't even make fun of Richard Nixon, and there's a man who's screaming out to be made fun of. So, fuck it.
He bumps past the producer.
Is he all right?
No, Phil. He's not all right. Man does not refer to Pat Boone as a beautiful genius if things are all right.
He follows Kronauer downstairs.
Sir.
Garlick.
Garlick stops.
I'd like you to collate these one-minute spots prior to broadcast. Do you have a problem with that, young man?
Absolutely not. I live to collate, sir.
Good. So do I.
Later, in a restaurant.
now.
Get a job.
Get a job.
Garlic stands over Kronauer's table.
Get a job.
Right. You got it. You're cooking now.
Sir? Edward.
I'd like an explanation.
But anything in particular?
A lot of people went to the mat for you. Thousands of guys wrote in, called in, trying to get you reinstated. And I literally think that you owe it to all of them to get your ass back on the air.
If you haven't noticed, the Army doesn't really want me, Ed. Been harassing me since the day I got off the plane.
So what? It's the guys in the field that matter, remember? Those are the guys that are dying.
Edward, I tried to tell the truth, and they kicked me off the air. I screw up once more, Dickerson sends me to the field with a rifle, I come home in a box.
What you do is important to a lot of people.
Forget it, will you? Listen, I give up. I'm gonna phone it in, okay? Enough bullshit. I'm out of here. See you, fellas. Buy you some lunch.
Can't let you do that.
Hey, listen, if I don't get to my class, there's gonna be a bunch of Vietnamese speaking in short, choppy sentences.
Look, we gotta talk. We gotta talk now.
Not now, man. Come on.
I can't believe you! What? That's it? You leave the whole fucking thing behind. You leave everything fucking hanging. People are depending on you.
Edward, please. That's two nasty words in one year. Forgive me.
Hey. So you want to give me a ride to school? I'm going to have to buy another bike. Pissing me off.
Later, a convoy of U.S. troop transport trucks winds down a narrow street. A car with a steaming engine blocks their path. In a Jeep, Garlic drives with Kronauer and Twan.
Garlic, you cut it out. You begin to sound like a priest in a 40s movie. I got enough fire on you and the boy you're depending on.
They approach the convoy and stop between the big open trucks packed with soldiers. Garlic stands up.
Gentlemen!
What are you doing, Ed?
Hey, guys! Guess who the hell I got in here?
Uh-oh, don't do this shit.
Curly. Come on, come on, come on. Guess again.
Oh, bag it, Garlic.
The fellow I got in here is the gentleman, the one and the only king of the airways, Adrian Kronauer.
Hey, Peterson, get up here, man. I think we got Kronauer here.
Hey, Kronauer, say good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, give me a break, man. It's too hot for radio shit, okay?
Come on.
Come on.
Okay. How do we know it's Adrian Kronauer?
Okay. I'll give it the best shot.
Good morning, Vietnam!
With their rifles between their knees, the young soldiers grin. Kronauer cracks a smile. Garlic takes a relieved breath.
All right, this is Adrian Kronauer. I'm on at 6 o'clock and again at 4. Hey, would like to welcome you to Vietnam, the country that is more stimulating than a strong cup of cappuccino or an espresso enema. That one's coming right at you right now. But first, our fashion report from Special Forces Sergeant Ernest Lee Sincere.
Thank you. I think this fall, the discerning GI is going to be wearing green in the jungle. Why? Because it matches with the green. I just, as the leaves, they fall upon the helmet, says yes to me.
Thank you. There's a little news flash coming your way right now. We can't afford the teletype. Here it's coming for you right now. Quick news flash. Former President Eisenhower, actually cartoon character Elmer Fudd. He was quoted as saying, "Thank you, America. It was fun being president." Also, Gina Lola Brigida has been declared the Italian National Mountain Range. Thank you, Gina. Look out. One little game show while we're waiting, and who can tell me who sang the song My Guy? Hi, where are you from?
Boston.
Boston, you know who sang the song My Guy?
Yeah, shit, I can't think of it.
Thank you for playing! Yeah, shit, I can't think of it. That's right. You don't win the case of fish balls and lizard testicles. Thank you for playing anyway. Here it is right now. Hey, what's your name?
Patrick O'Miley.
O'Miley. I don't know. I'm just so happy. I'm O'Miley. He's good for it. Good. I don't know. It's the Irish boy. I'm just so full of semen. I haven't gotten laid yet. I'm sitting out there. I'm the Catholic boy, and I don't know when I'll be getting laid. I've just gone off to Vietnam. Where are you from?
From the village, New York.
From the village? Well, nice to have you here. Nice to have you here in Vietnam. Obviously, you just said, well, fuck it. I'll join the army and be with people in green. That's a special thing to do. Hey, what's your name?
Jimmy Wilkes.
Jimmy Wilkes. Where are you from, Jimmy?
I'm also New York.
Oh, two boys joined together. Hey, he said, well, I got drunk, man. All of a sudden, I went for a tattoo. Next thing you know, I'm on a fucking truck. What happened? Wow, baby, I don't know what's going down. But you're both from New York. Nice to have you here. Like, you're just, like, hanging out. You're headed north. Where are you going to?
Not Trink.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Jack. That's some heavy stuff up there. That's like Newark after dark. You got to watch out. That's some heavy shit going down, baby. You feel like George Wallace campaigning in Harlem. Hi, have you seen my face? Get your ass out of here. You got to watch it. What type of music do you like? You like Little Anthony? You like Little Anthony?
Yeah. I like James Brown better.
You like James Brown better? Yes, sir. And the Stones. Oh, you like Mick Jagger? Mick Jagger, right. Do you think he looks like a photo negative of Little Richard, or am I crazy? And that hair guy. I think, I know. All right. Good man. I don't know whether, oh, my God, these lips, my God, they're moving. I'm going to flap my eyebrows to death. Look out. I'm singing, everybody. I'm singing. Whoa, get out of here. Watch out. All right. Where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland, man.
Cleveland? Yeah. Obviously, Vietnam's not that much of a change for you, then.
Oh, no.
You guys take care of yourself, because you all look like, I don't know what's going to happen here. Right. What's this thing on the side of your helmet? What is that
a
thing?
A condom.
Try it out.
Well, why don't you try it out? Look at this. Look at that. It says here, it says, what sizes you got? You got large, medium, and Caucasian. Look at this thing. A little Italian party favor there. Oh, no, boys, oh, boys and girls. Don't do that. Look at this thing. Obviously, this is going like, yeah, check it out. Hold on, how big is this thing? Hold on. Black man's going, it's just for the tip. That's all I need. It's a bathing cap. I just like to put a bathing cap. Remember, this is the Vietnamese word, condom. Look, Italian moon lunch.
He blows it up.
Oh, jeez, it almost blew up in my face. There's prophylactic everywhere, man. It's not a pretty picture. There's pieces of rubber all over his face. I don't know what to say. You guys be careful. What's your name?
My name is Louis Stryker.
Louis Stryker, Brother Stryker. Thank you, Brother Stryker.
John Dunham.
John Dunham.
Jay Snyder.
Feels like a Mouseketeer show. Annette, Cubby, Roy.
Well, you guys, you take care of yourselves. I won't forget you.
All right, guys. Let's take it back to the radio star. We're out of here.
Kronauer stands on his seat, arms over the windshield, watching the trucks pass by. The GIs wave to him. Some hold up two-fingered peace signs. Kronauer smiles and waves back. As the trucks move by more quickly, the waving arms and young faces flash by in blurs. Kronauer gives them a thumbs up. The convoy continues past, and Kronauer pumps his hand like he's jerking off. Sweat beads roll down his smiling cheeks. He sticks up two fingers, pretending to shoot a gun, and the corners of his mouth begin to sag. As the last trucks whiz by, Kronauer manages a meager smile. The soldiers, all of them young and lean, give hearty thumbs up and flash wide grins. Kronauer, his cheery face now solemn, watches the last jeep in the convoy. In the jeep, a soldier sits with a rifle on his knee. With a happy grin, the GI raises his fist, then rolls out of sight. At dawn, a helicopter flies over a river delta.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, it's another delightful day here in vacation land.
Everybody, time to get up. Get up wherever you are.
That's right. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Got some songs going out right now to a couple of guys on the road to Nat Trang. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Mr. O'Malley, O'Malley, you know, the Irish Dolby twins. They're out there. Special song going out to you right now.
The truck convoy rolls down the middle of a city street.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
In a hallway, Hauk looks out a window and watches the sunrise.
I see skies of blue.
Vietnamese men and women work in a rice paddy. Helicopters fly over, and the village explodes. A toddler runs screaming to his mother.
The dogs say goodnight, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
In a bar, South Vietnamese MPs round up three young Vietnamese men.
the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky.
In a dark alley, the soldiers line the men up, gun smoke blasts, and the men collapse dead.
I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you.
Student protesters clash with local police. In a jumble of running legs, we glimpse a young woman with a bloody forehead. A policeman spots an American reporter filming the chaos and beats him down.
I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
In a jungle clearing, choppers fly over a U.S. base of tents and sandbag bunkers.
I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
A wiry, shirtless GI mans a gun on a tripod. Beside him, a radio hangs on a post.
Ooh, yeah.
That was Louis B. Armstrong, the great Satchmo.
Now, in Dickerson's office.
Want to interview some GIs in the field, sir? And play those tapes on the radio? God only knows what they'd say, sir.
It involves Kronauer, which makes me suspicious immediately.
Unlock. And Kronauer would definitely be going along. Hold on a minute, sir.
Dickerson dials another phone on his desk.
G2, Corporal Tyser, sir. One moment.
In a bunker, a GI unrolls a map, then returns to the phone.
Route 1A, sir, is the only route to Anlac, sir.
Does that road have a secure status?
No, sir, it does not. That road is Victor Charlie, sir.
It is definitely not a friendly area.
Negative, sir. It is not. It is hazardous and has been for about 48 hours. Heavily fortified and considered very unsafe, sir.
Dickerson picks up the first phone, which bears a warning. Charlie is listening.
Sir, I recommend we issue a 24-hour pass.
Now, driving down a rural stretch of highway, Garlick and Kronauer turn off the pavement and onto a dirt road. In the teletype room, a report prints out, Route 1A to Unlock has fallen into VC hands. In the Jeep.
So this is the country where they grow rattan love seats. God, is it hot. What a country. Heat, humidity, terrorism. Still, it's better than New York in the summer.
Hey, fellas, how's the cough drop business?
At the radio station, a sensor crosses out the Route 1A warning with a red pencil. In the Jeep.
You know, we haven't passed too many checkpoints since Chantan.
Then why do you make every Vietnamese town sound like a Mexican restaurant?
Britain imposed an oil embargo on Rhodesia today after that country's unilateral declaration of independence.
Drywood skips over the crossed-out warning.
Surtees Kama becomes the first premier of Bechuana Land.
In sports, all-star rookie Pete Rose's three hits.
What do you think you'll do after all this, Ed? When you get out of the army?
I think I learned enough about radio stations. I mean, maybe I could work in a station back home or something.
Really? Give me your best shot. Lay something on. Give it a go. Give it a go.
City Garlic coming to you live from NFRS, Armed Forces Radio Saigon.
Now funkify it. Give me some real funk. Give it to me, Edward.
This is Eddie Garlic. Come.
Good morning, Vietnam!
A landmine explodes under the Jeep. Garlic struggles for control. A second blast rolls the Jeep down an embankment and into the jungle.
You're listening to Eddie Kirk on AFRS. I have a big special.
On the unpaved road, six Viet Cong soldiers march over a rise. Wielding assault rifles, the young, boyish soldiers wear ammo belts over their dark shirts. The leader stops and waves. The soldiers drop to a crouch and shuffle to the side of the road. At the overturned Jeep, they find a transistor radio.
Four, but we need two. Kim đi. You fly hot đi. Coi có chỗ nào không?
Hey!
They march into the jungle, barely discernible among the dense palm fronds.
You fly. We tag you out. Take you home. You come out. No problem. Take you home. Safe now from VC.
A young Viet Cong soldier coolly scans the jungle. Something moves in the leaves and a soldier fingers his trigger. He lowers his rifle and follows the others deeper into the jungle. Now in the studio.
Hi, this is Marty Lee Drywitz at Kronauer Control Center. Adrian Kronauer is on temporary assignment, and I'll be filling in until he arrives hopefully sometime this morning. Right now, let's play a song from Adrian's own playlist, one of AC's favorites.
In a jeep, a grinning soldier taps his fingers to the beat. In the radio teletype room, a report prints out two U.S. servicemen.
It's going to be an exciting day, listening and learning, so please tune in.
Later, Eddie Kirk does his show.
And third man beat on the Kirk International.
In the classroom, Tuan checks the clock, 10 minutes before 3. He runs down the street to the gate at the Army headquarters. A guard aims a rifle at him. Drywitz joins Tuan.
I tried to find Colonel. He don't show up in class.
He didn't show up for work today either. You know anything about this?
He grabs the guard.
Listen, jerk-off, we're here fighting for your country. Now where did Kronauer go?
Angla, he passed the Angla.
Tuan takes off. He looks inside a parked car, then eyes a man delivering eggs from a blue van. In the countryside, a chopper hovers over a forest. Now, in the dense jungle.
You okay? Yeah, you okay?
No.
They walk slowly.
Come on, Pavel, make.
Oh, hello. Hey, hold on.
Limping heavily, Garlic leans on a tree.
VC, the fucking VC.
Tell me something I don't know, okay?
Now, Tuan speeds down unpaved Route 1A in the blue van. A VC soldier watches him pass. Elsewhere.
How far do you think we're going?
10, 15 miles.
Think we reached Cambodia yet?
How can you fight a war on this shit? I don't know where they are. I don't even know where I am. Can't see Dick. It's like hunting with Ray Charles.
We glimpse the wide-eyed VC leader, then Kronauer and Garlic.
It okay?
They duck.
You can come out now. But if you're here, I cannot find you unless you talk to me. It's too dangerous staying here. You don't believe it's me? Okay. Flip them the bird!
Kronauer leaps up.
Juan? Hey, there you are, Kronauer.
How the hell did you find us, Sparky?
Your jeep.
He points.
Obviously not in Cambodia.
Try it again. One more time.
Only a few yards from the overturned jeep, they look under the van's hood.
Damn it. Our jeep gets blown off the road, his van won't start. That's great. You know why we ended up in the same place.
What's that?
Your limp pulled us to the right. We were going around in circles. Stick with me. I don't want to go around again.
Later, they wander into a smoldering village.
Not in Kansas anymore, though.
Smoke from the raised huts swirls up, filling the lush valley with a white haze.
Listen.
All three of them scan the skies.
Somewhere over there.
A chopper appears through the smoke.
There it is.
Yeah!
They all wave their arms. Kronauer pulls up his cuff and shows some leg. Two white-helmeted pilots guide the chopper down. Kronauer leads Garlic and Tuan in a hunched-over sprint. They climb in through the gunner's door, and the chopper immediately lifts off, rising above neat crop rows. Long guns jut out from both sides of the chopper as it speeds out over the treetops. Now, the teletype prints out a report. President Johnson stated today that he believes the Vietnam situation will worsen before it improves.
To avoid razor burn problems, always rinse your razor with cold water instead of hot. Your skin will look and feel a whole lot better. That's it for hygiene in the heat. Tomorrow we'll...
Welcome back.
Thank you, Sergeant. I've missed you.
In Dickerson's office.
I'm informing you that you're out of here. I want your bags packed and ready to go tomorrow afternoon.
You don't have the power. I'll take this right to the authorities.
I am the authorities, you moron.
He stands up next to Kronauer.
Oh, I got your pansy ass in a sling now, Kronauer. Who's Tuan? The guys who flew you in from Unlock Radio, they picked up a young South Vietnamese boy with you and Garlic. Who is this South Vietnamese boy?
It's a friend from my class who risked his ass to save my life.
A friend? Your friend is a VC terrorist.
Yeah, and my mother's a werewolf, right?
Tuan is also known as Phan Duc Tho. He's currently wanted by the South Vietnamese police in connection with several bombings in the area, including the one at Jimmy Hoa's. Surely you're familiar with that incident. Do you ever wonder how a young South Vietnamese boy gets into and out of VC-held territory? It's dangerous out there. Things just jump out at you. And yet this boy can get in and out without a scratch. And what about Jimmy Hoa's? Didn't you ever wonder why you were pulled out just moments before the whole place blew up? Or are you normally not that inquisitive?
He shows a photo of three young men.
Friends of Phan Duc Tho. These three were executed shortly after this photo was taken.
He shows Kronauer a photo of their bloody bodies.
Your friend is next. I don't recommend that you tangle with me on this one, Airman. There's not too many high-ranking officers would be sympathetic to a serviceman with links to terrorists. The Army is kind of quirky that way. A conviction on a charge of treason against the United States carries with it some penalties kind of on the stiff side, if you know what I mean. I have arranged for an honorable discharge, provided you leave without incident.
Tanner.
Ready.
General Taylor enters the office.
Colonel, I'm sorry as hell about this thing. God damn it, I like you, son. I like what you do. Most of all, I like what you've done for the men. But facts, facts. This could give the Army a black eye. I'm not going to cover for you this time, son.
Sir, what about the show?
We'll handle it. I'm sorry, son.
He leaves Kronauer standing before Dickerson.
Why'd you do this?
I don't like your style, your politics, or your sense of humor. I don't like what you say or how you say it. From now on, the fighting men of Vietnam will hear exactly what they're supposed to hear. You're on a DC-8 from Tan Son Nhut Airport tomorrow at 18:30 hours. I recommend you pack quietly. That's all I have for you, Airman.
He sits down, lifts a pen, and reads some paperwork at his desk. Kronauer puts on his cap and goes to the door.
You know,
Dickerson looks up.
You're in more dire need of a blowjob than any white man in history.
Dickerson goes after him, but meets the general in the hallway.
Whoa there, Dick. Put the brakes on. I wanted to wait till the airman left to talk with you. Dick, I'm transferring.
Transferring me, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Where to, sir?
You're going to Guam.
Guam, sir? There's nothing going on in Guam. Why Guam?
Dick, I've covered for you a lot of times because I thought you was a little crazy. But you're not crazy. You're mean. And this is just radio.
He strides down the hall away from Dickerson. Cracking a smile, the general gets into an elevator.
More dire need of a blowjob than any white man in history. That's funny.
Now, Kronauer, dressed in green fatigues, drives a Jeep to the school. The students wait outside.
I gotta talk to you. Now, come on.
He takes Trin aside.
Oh, knock, knock. You gotta tell me where your brother is.
I don't know.
His life is in danger. You gotta tell me where the hell he is.
No, I don't.
Bullshit! No more games, okay? The Army knows about your brother. I have to leave the country because of my association with him. They have pictures of him. If they find him, they will shoot him. If you want to continue to have a brother, you take me to him now!
Kronauer drives Trin down a narrow, shop-lined street to a stone archway over the road. Kronauer stops and gets out. Trin leads him down a narrow alley into a neighborhood of tightly packed buildings. Under awnings and umbrellas, people sit in smoky, darkened doorways. Kronauer's gaze wanders over a mother washing clothes in a plastic tub and an old woman tending a steaming pot on a fire. Stone-faced, Trin marches deeper into the smoke-filled alley. A young woman in a t-shirt and jeans stares at Kronauer and his green uniform. In the next doorway, an old man, bald and shirtless, peers out of the darkness at them. Trin and Kronauer reach the end of the cramped alley and stop in an open area. Under a pole tent, teenaged boys use a crate as a table. One of them notices Kronauer and points. Kronauer watches Tuan stand up.
Van Docto!
Tuan takes off. Kronauer chases him. They sprint down a narrow sidewalk. From the ground, we watch Tuan's sandaled feet race across the wooden sidewalk planks, followed by Kronauer's pounding black boots. Tuan weaves between men hauling rice bags and cuts past a crumbling brick wall. Tuan's running legs pass in a blur, followed by Kronauer's longer, slower strides. Tuan cuts a sharp turn between two buildings. Closing in, Kronauer charges through the alley and stops. Panting, he stands outside a tin-roof shack in a dirt yard littered with junk. A rooster flaps its wings. Kronauer's jaw hardens as he watches a man stand up behind a cage. Another man wanders out of a doorway with a cigarette. A third man, in an undershirt, steps into the sunlight. Gritting his teeth, Kronauer scans the yard as two more men come out of hiding.
Know about the bombing, Sparky? No wonder you hauled ass.
A gaunt-faced villager in a polo shirt and a straw hat frowns at him. Kronauer looks around.
You, my friend. I trusted you. You hear me?
You naive man, Colonel. You take a stupid side. Now you have to go. It's better off.
That's not the fucking point! You understand me? I fought to get you into that bar, and then you blow the fucking place up! Listen. I gave you my friendship and my trust. And now they tell me that my best friend is the goddamn enemy.
Enemy? What is enemy?
Tuan appears.
You claim my own people, so we march from your home. We're not the enemy. You the enemy.
You used me to kill two people. Two people died in that fucking bar.
Big fucker than you. My mother is dead. And my other brother, who be 29 years old, he dead. Shot by Americans. My neighbor, dead. His wife, dead. Why? Because we're not human to them. We're only little enemies. And I'm stupid enough to save your bullshit life at Angla.
Teary-eyed, he turns and walks away. Kronauer follows, stammering for words.
We're here to help this country. Fuck you, God!
He jogs through a corrugated metal shack and into another dirt yard. A dog and some roosters roam beside a clothesline.
Unbelievable. 5 months in Saigon, my best friend turns out to be a VC. This will not look good on a resume!
He turns and plods back, his uniform soaked with sweat. Another day. Kronauer, dressed in a khaki uniform and creased blue airman's cap, zips his duffel bag. Outside, Garlic waves to a couple of MPs.
You guys mind if I drive?
Be my guest.
Kronauer stands beside the Jeep, gazing wistfully at the building, then climbs into a seat. Two MPs sit in the back while Garlic takes the driver's seat and turns the key.
It's a simple rule. If the engine's humming, it's already started. Never fail you.
You
You guys mind if we make a little unscheduled stop? I got something I gotta do.
If you attempt to deviate from the aforeplanned schedule, you're under arrest for an hour.
In a dirt yard, a student pitches a round melon to Kronauer, who hits it with a bamboo pole. The melon shatters.
Whether it's a double or a daiquiri.
He runs the bases. The battered melon rolls to a stop, and Kronauer hops onto home plate. Later, the pitcher shows him another melon.
Little conference, time out,
everyone. Kronauer, a real baseball is much smaller and harder than this one.
You got me there, Wilk, because I'm sorry, we have no budget, you see, and I got to get on a plane, and we have to do with what we can. Yeah. Give me your hand.
Thank you.
They shake.
Thank you.
Thank you all the same.
Thank you all the same. And what, you want to take the ball?
No.
Okay. What? We got to play, Wilk. You're pitching.
There's returning the ball to the original place.
Okay. Let's take one more ball here. No. This one's a better one.
No.
Not that
no
one?
Need.
We haven't got a real baseball, Wilk. Bear with me, okay?
Okay.
We haven't got the money, pal.
Anyway,
okay, that one okay?
I said that this is a very good substitute.
Okay, let's just play with the substitute then, okay?
Okay. That's the deal.
The deal?
That's the deal.
Okay, take the ball with you then, Wilk. I'll give you money if you take the ball.
No?
No?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm no more.
Is there a psychiatrist here?
Wilkie pitches a fresh melon to another student. He swings and misses, and then he hits the next pitch. Batter slips on a melon rind and falls down. Kids watch and cheer. Next, an older woman hits a melon and runs toward Garlic at first base. A fielder throws the melon way over Garlic's head. Min, the batter, keeps going past first base and shuffles off the field. Next, Kronauer pitches. He lofts a melon to Wilkie. Wilkie hits it and runs to first, then turns and walks back. Kronauer stops him.
Wilk, you got a base.
Garlic pushes Wilkie toward the base. Next up, an MP swings hard and smashes a melon. The grinning MP slides home. A melon splatters in Wilkie's face. The MPs race for a grounder and bowl each other over. Next, a woman in glasses makes a hit, then an MP wallops one. After the game, they toss the broken melons into a basket. Wilkie nods to an MP.
Hey, hey.
When you look like Goliath, so mind you.
Kronauer embraces Min.
Thank you.
Next, he shakes Wilkie's hand.
Mr. Kronauer, we thank you for your fine teaching about softball, and we learned a lot from you, and we wish you good luck and success.
Thank you.
They bow. Wilkie bows again and again as he walks away. Looking across the yard, Kronauer spots Trin, dressed in her white Ao Dai and holding her hat in her hands.
Can you give me a minute?
Man, he's gonna say goodbye to the whole goddamn country now.
Kronauer leaves the MPs at the Jeep and approaches Trin. Trin looks up into his eyes.
I want to say goodbye before you go. To tell you, thank you for being so kind. So many things not happen the way you wanted. You're so good person that I could not with you. We are so different.
I say tomato, you say kite tomato.
Trin smiles and nods, then she sighs. She extends her right arm, and Kronauer shakes her hand, then cradles it in both of his. Letting go, Kronauer clasps his hands at his chest and lowers his head. Trin returns his bow, then looks up, smiling. She watches Kronauer walk away, and her eyes well with tears. In the Jeep, Garlic turns the ignition.
Staggers the imagination. Makes me unique, doesn't it?
What a plus.
A student waves.
Let them aboard!
Later, at the entrance to Tan Son Nhat Air Base, a Vietnamese soldier raises a gate bar. Garlic drives through and trades a sideways glance with Kronauer. They drive past a tent with a red cross on its roof. With a melancholy stare, Kronauer watches a long line of troops march past. In front of a hangar, soldiers in khaki uniforms stroll past GIs wearing green fatigues. Camouflaged soldiers with rolled-up sleeves march past a giant transport plane. A truck emblazoned with a red cross rolls across the tarmac. Near the transport plane, new recruits jog with rifles and duffels. Kronauer glances at a chopper flying overhead, then watches different groups of soldiers crisscrossing the base. Soldiers hurry across a runway carrying wounded men on stretchers, and more duffel-toting GIs jog past. Kronauer watches them, tight-lipped. Finally, the jeep stops near a United Airlines plane where soldiers wait to board on a portable stairway. Kronauer gets out and slowly ambles around the jeep. Garlic hands him his duffel.
It's a pleasure making your acquaintance, sir.
Thanks.
He salutes.
I'm trying to cut that out, Garlic. We're the same rank.
What will I do without you, sir?
Well, you carry on, Montesquieu.
Carry on, Montesquieu. Carry on. I like that. Makes me feel British or something.
Got something here for you.
A tape reel.
Well, you play this. It says goodbye to everybody staying behind.
I'll take care of your pronto, sir.
You could get in trouble for that.
Requisition for a name change. Trouble is actually my new middle name.
I'm gonna give you a old chuck on the shoulder now. It's a stupid thing to do, isn't it? You take care. Ed? Flies up. Made you look.
Kronauer turns toward the plane, and Garlic meekly lifts his hand to wave. Smoke pours from one of the plane's big engines, and the propeller blades crank to life. As Garlic and the MPs drive away, Kronauer runs to his plane and bounds up the stairway two steps at a time. Now, in the studio.
Good morning, Vietnam! This is Eddie Garlic coming to you live from AFRS, Armed Forces Radio Saigon. It's 1629 hours here in Saigon, and Airman Adrian Kronauer is going home today. But he left a farewell message for all you guys out there still sweating it out in the fields. So, without further ado, here's a farewell extravaganza.
Goodbye, Vietnam! That's right. I'm history. I'm out of here. I got the lucky ticket home, baby. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep the wagon rolling, rawhide. Yeah, that's right. The final Adrian Kronauer broadcast. And this one is brought to you by our friends at the Pentagon. Remember the people who brought you Korea. That's right, the U.S. Army. If it's being done correctly, here or abroad, it's probably not being done by the Army.
I heard that.
Oh, you're here. Good to see you.
I'm here to make sure you don't say anything controversial.
Speaking of things controversial, is it true that there is a marijuana problem here in Vietnam?
No, it's not a problem. Everybody has it.
I don't know, Adrian.
Leo.
Adrian, take care of yourself. I just want you to know one thing. If you're going to be dressing in civilian clothes, don't forget pumps.
Thank you, Leo. Thanks for these. Oh, these are special.
The ruby slippers, Adrian. Put these on and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, and you can be there.
I hope we all could.
This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Michael Braden and Brian Gould. Read by Jesse Moore. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. Remaining opening titles, written by Mitch Markowitz, produced by Mark Johnson and Larry Bresner, directed by Barry Levinson. End credits, cast of characters, Robin Williams as Adrian Kronauer, Forrest Whitaker as Edward Garlic, Tung Tan Tran as Tuan, Chintara Sukhapatana as Trin, Bruno Kirby as Lieutenant Stephen Hauk, Robert Wall as Marty Lee Drywitz, J.T. Walsh as Sergeant Major Dickerson, Noble Willingham as General Taylor, Richard Edson as Private Abersold, Junie Smith as Phil McPherson, Richard Portnow as Dan the Man Levitan, Floyd Vivino as Eddie Kirk, Ku Ba Wen as Jimmy Wah, and others. Songs, Around the World in 80 Days and I'll Never Smile Again, performed by Lawrence Welk. Baby Please Don't Go, performed by Them. Ballad of a Thin Man, performed by The Grassroots. Beach Blanket Bingo, performed by Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. California Sun, performed by The Rivieras. Cast Your Fate to the Wind, performed by Sounds Orchestral. Danger, Heartbreak Ahead, performed by The Marvelettes. Don't Worry, Baby, I Get Around, and Warmth of the Sun, performed by The Beach Boys. Dream On, Little Dreamer, performed by Perry Como. 5 O'Clock World, performed by The Vogues. Game of Love, performed by Wayne Fontana and The Mindbenders. Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight, and Kit Kat Polka, performed by Lawrence Welk and Myron Florin. I Got You, I Feel Good, performed by James Brown. In the Midnight Hour, performed by Wilson Pickett. It's All Right, performed by Adam Faith. Liar, Liar, performed by The Castaways. Acapulco, performed by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Lollipops and Roses, performed by Jack Jones. Nowhere to Run, performed by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, performed by Ray Conniff. Sugar and Spice, performed by The Searchers. What a Wonderful World, performed by Louis Armstrong. Yeah, Yeah, performed by Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames. Copyright 1987 Touchstone Pictures. Soundtrack on A&M Records. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution Incorporated. Now a logo appears, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Pictures.